Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks. This is Peter Higgins at Conkers 3, and today I'm ably assisted again by my colleague Peter at Wheelie Dealer. How are you doing, Pete?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. I'm hoping that my Dr. Higgins night nurse duties will be finishing very, very soon. I've had a poorly big boss.
Oh, yeah, you were saying.
Past 2 weeks now, mate. I'm
you're
getting
saying.
A bit with it, you know.
Yeah, so you're saying your wife's been ill, and it's not much fun.
Not much fun, but hopefully her health is improving, so my chores are reducing from 100% down to 95. So how's it going, mate? And what would you like to talk about, or what should we talk about today?
Well, yeah, we got all sorts of things. I mean, I actually bought something the other day, so I'm sure we'll talk about that. I wrote a blog about a company that I published the first part last night, so we can cover that. And we need to mention your AstraZeneca.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you absolutely love your AstraZeneca and for jolly good reasons. And I also love it because I've got a load. And what was it, up something like 6% yesterday or something? 5%?
Yeah,
massive jump.
Yeah, 5.5% yesterday. Came out with some good Q3 numbers. It's essentially because of what's been happening with all the Brexit noise and politics noise. Sterling strengthened over the past couple of weeks. Much to the begrudgement of many a short-term Sterling player and the hedge fund. And it came out with some good numbers. And then the markets, I think, were expecting it to go a bit lower or just to be flat. And during the course of the day, I think it opened about 1% up, 1.5% up.
It was fairly tepid at the start, wasn't it? And then it just seemed to just keep pushing up,
I think that's what happens. I think a few people that may have been expecting less or poorer numbers, or might even have been shorting it, looking for it to hit, the mid sort of 65 sort of figure, it didn't happen. So they came out with Q3 revenues up 20%. Core operating profit up 43%, core earnings per share up 40%, and because of all the reinvestments they'd done and sales of various bits and pieces, profits was actually down, Pete, by 11%, down to 757 million for the quarter. But the great thing about it was that year to date total product sales, the growth was up 13% to 17.3 billion. So they're on course to have a really, really good year, and the pipeline for the next 3 to 18 months looks phenomenal. You know, if they can hit the milestones that they want, and the FDA approved just I think 30% of the things that they want them to approve in the next 18 months, I'm quite happy to be confident enough to say, you know, this time next year the shares will be 80 quid, which will be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think obviously the big thing yesterday as well was that they'd upgraded their guidance.
Yes.
I can't quite remember. Was it from something like single digits to into the teens or something? Well, it was something like that.
Yeah, it was much higher. I think that took people by surprise. And I think when they had their analysts talk out, you know, across the world, a lot of analysts were going, ooh. You know, because it's meant to be a boring, stodgy little pharma company. And
it's incredible.
And year to date, it's up 23-24%. So it's outperformed the vast number of it of their global peers, never mind, you know, the rest of the companies that are in the same sort of space as them. So
you think of all the smaller, much more risky companies that won't have done 23%. And they certainly won't have the sort of positive outlook that GSK has, AZN has got.
Yeah.
And you know, you sort of think, well, yeah, it's flipping impressive.
Well, this is the recurring thing, Pete. You know, and I don't want to talk about AstraZeneca all through this podcast, but there's numerous stocks out there which are tweeted about, which are talked about, which are ramped, which are pushed, which are on FTSE and are on AIM. Yeah. And they'll do 23% in the first hour and be down 50% the next 3 days. I'm not interested in those stocks. And as I'm on here on the podcast and I'm on Twitter, and I'm saying to everybody, look, There's stocks out there. You do not need to chase rainbows. You do not need to follow anyone on Twitter, me or Pete Wheelie Dealer. Do your research, find a stock you can hold for 3 years, 3 months, whatever your time frame is. But don't be chasing the rainbow stocks that are going up and down like yo-yos every couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. You're just buying a pile of risk. The thing that really struck me as well with AZ, there was two things with AZN apart from the guidance, was the emerging markets growth really blew me away. I thought that's impressive. Do you know what I mean? Their growth rate was fantastic. And then there was some of the new drugs, the oncology drugs, the growth was just massive, like 170% or something. Really big numbers.
They're really going for that space, Pete, and they're going to new markets. And the great thing about what they've tried to do is that you've got to remember that they went through that flux between 2014 to almost 2018, where the pipeline was really, really weak. So they'd spent all those years investing and investing and investing, and eventually now some of that's coming to the fore, and some of the markets that they've tried to go into are growing, and they're growing quite rapidly. And I think a lot of people underestimated that. And we spoke before
Totally.
about Woodford selling out the stock at between 43 and £47, 2 years ago.
Well,
And
he probably had something unlisted that he wanted to
well,
buy.
exactly. So you've gone from a blue chip stock, which was going to go through its difficulties at some point. And going forward, I'm sure they'll have more difficulties. There's going to be some FDA approvals that they want, at phase three that they don't get. And the shock might be to go down 10 or 15%. That could potentially happen to the stock. But you don't go selling a stock like AstraZeneca to buy an unquoted entity which has got no profits, which you think is going to become a unicorn. You just don't do that.
Just bonkers.
And since then the stock's nearly up double,
Exactly. Related to AstraZeneca, it's interesting what Glaxo's doing, GSK,
Yes.
because they've obviously peered over and seen what AstraZeneca are up to. And they seem to be now moving to very much the same sort of strategy, where they're flogging off the more boring consumer health bits and whatever. And they've, was it, I think it was this week, wasn't it? They offloaded a couple of vaccines, like a rabies vaccine and a some sort of tick thing or something. I can't remember what it was about. But they sold those off, the rights to them to another company for like $800 million or something, dollars or something. So they seem to be moving more towards the AstraZeneca model. So I'm thinking, Glaxo today, you can probably buy it. I guess it's got around 5% dividend or something. So you can buy Glaxo as a nice, boring, tedious 5% dividend play, but you might also have some juicy upside as well if it can get anywhere near the incredible success of AstraZeneca.
That is a very good call there, Pete. And it's once again one of those sort of companies which people have always had in their pensions and have in their income portfolios, as you said. And they're currently yielding just shy of 5%. So the opportunity's there for them to grow most definitely. I'm just looking at the information here as to what they actually sold. It was two travel vaccines, Pete. So they've agreed to
That's it.
divest rabies and tick-borne encephalitis vaccines to Bavarian Nordic.
Oh, that's like something to do with the brain, isn't it? A water on the brain or something, isn't it? Something like
I don't know, mate.
I think your head swells up or something. It's not me. I wouldn't recommend it.
it's not what I'm familiar with. But GSK to
Yeah,
receive.
while you're at it, you don't want rabies either.
No, exactly. So they're to receive upfront payment of approximately 259 million and a milestone payment for the total consideration of 822 million. So, they're going to reinvest that, aren't they, going forward. And if they're putting that into growth over the next 2 or 3 years, you can guarantee your bottom dollar that they're going to get more bang for that money going forward. And they're sitting just 1% below the high of their 52 week range as well, Pete. So they've not done too bad or too shabbily either. Year
Well,
to date.
I think you've hit a really important point there on the chart aspects, Because it's been in quite a range, I think, for several years. You know, where it just sort of goes up and down in I can't remember what numbers are, but in a range, sideways range. If it breaks higher out of that range, that's a sign that sentiment is moving toward, towards it more being a growth stock.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been in the 3-year range, Pete. Yeah,
There you go.
and it's just broken out. Well, it actually broke out of the range, going back in, where are we now? So late September it broke out of that range,
Yeah, and then drop back in.
and it's essentially done the same this month. It's been bobbing and weaving since the end of September, towards that high point of 1770. And now it's just sitting in between 1700 and 1800. And once it pops out of there, it could be off again.
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah.
And the good thing about it is, if for those looking at GSK, like you said, they've got their Q3 numbers as well, coming out next week, the 30th of October. So
Oh.
if they perform, you're going to see a pop above 18. If they don't, obviously you won't see the pop. But
Yeah.
if they come out with really good stellar numbers, obviously they're going to be saying, "Oh, we've got an extra, 800 million coming into the bank as well." But if the numbers are good, I suspect we'll see a pop above 18,
Oh, definitely.
going forward. Sitting closing on today, Friday the 25th, at 17, exactly £17, and yielding 4.75.
Mate, I hate to go back to AstraZeneca, but there's a sort of general point that I want to make related to it, yeah?
Go on.
With AstraZeneca, it had like really good numbers or whatever, say a month ago or whatever it was, yeah? And AstraZeneca jumped up a lot then, right? And it got to a stage, it was on a forward PE of something like 23, 24. And your sort of gut instinct would be, cool, blimey, that's a pretty high rating for a big, boring, pharma company or whatever. But it's that classic thing that a very high PE can be deceptive. A very high forward PE can be deceptive. Because if they beat earnings expectations, that forward PE is wrong. It's not a forward PE of 24. It might only actually be a forward PE of about 19. So that's the point. It's like if things keep beating expectations, it's not as expensive as it appears.
That's a very good point. And the thing that I haven't mentioned regarding AstraZeneca, or in fact Glasgow Wellcome or any sort of pharma companies, is that what's happening with them is that they're utilizing a lot of tech now, right? They use a lot of AI, yeah?
Yeah.
And so they're no longer the old pharmaceutical companies that we knew of old from the 1990s and the early 2000s. The amount of tech that they're utilizing to speed up and expedite the actual clinical trials and the research and the data that they want, yeah, is now where it used to take 3 to 5 years to go from one stage to the next stage to, taking it to phase three. That is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And they can dispense with some of the drugs that they're researching because of machine learning and AI. They can go, you know
Yeah.
what, that's actually not working. Let's just stop spending any more money on that one. Let's move on to the next drug and the next drug and the next drug until they see one that's got more than a 15% chance of getting through phase three. Because that's essentially the sort of percentage that we're talking about when it goes to phase three. People think it's a binary event and it's 50-50. It's not. They're trying to get it
Yeah.
above 50, above 14%, and way above 50% to actually get through phase three. And if they see something that's got a 70-80% chance of getting through phase three, then they'll go, right, let's carry on, let's carry on.
So that's the point, that they're just getting so much better at evaluating their pipeline. I mean, that's, it's funny you say that because one of the interesting things that struck me with AstraZeneca, I've held it for years and years and years and years. And what's really hit me about it is that when I think of the pipeline, it's had very, very few failures on that pipeline. And even when it does get a failure, quite often you'll find that that drug then reemerges as a possible drug for something else.
Yes,
Do you know what I
and
mean? It's
yeah,
incredible.
they're not going to
And I
waste
see that a
that.
lot.
Yeah, they're not going to waste that data, and they're not going to waste that investment.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
there's another stock I'll mention a bit later on that something significant's happened with, on a purely different company, an American company, but I've got a relationship with them via an investment I've made and in another company in that space. But the beauty of it is, Pete, is this, right? You've gone and spent right between 500 to £2 billion researching this drug, yeah? Unless there's something categorically and massively wrong with all of the data, you're going to try and find something else for it. You know, I'll make this really strange analogy. My wife will buy something, right, a dress, and she'll buy it for an event, right? And for whatever reason, she'll go to that event and think, well, actually, I want to wear it again. She'll then find something else to wear with it, so it doesn't look quite like the same dress.
It's a
It's a
good one.
strange
It's a
analogy,
good
I
one.
know, but you're not going to go and blow £2 billion if you're a
But
farmer.
it's an interesting point because when she first wears the dress, she might wear it to a wedding you're going to or something,
Yes.
yeah? Then the second time she wears a dress, you might be going to see some horse racing. You
Yes.
know, so it's like using the same product in different spheres. And that, yeah,
Change
exactly.
the accessories, but yeah, it's a market that's there, and the amazing thing that I've liked about AstraZeneca, and you know, I'm going to be completely biased about this because I've been holding the stock since
Well,
nineteen
I don't mind you being biased because I hold them as well, mate.
since ni since 1994.
Yeah, I don't think Twin Peaks investing will really be affecting the share price of AstraZeneca.
I know, but you
As much as we like to big up ourselves, I don't think that's going to
we're not going to
happen.
impact a 90 billion pound company's share
Oh.
price. But the beauty of it is, Pete, you're compounding, right, depending on which stage you've bought it,
Oh yeah.
12 to 15% return per year
Oh,
annualized.
totally.
And this year
Totally.
it's currently sitting at 24% up year to date. So if you're fortunate enough to hold that and getting the dividend and be able to compound that, you're on your way. And it goes back to the fact that it's not about getting rich quick. There's people out there on AIM and elsewhere ramping the bejesus out of all these different stocks. Yeah, I mentioned something the other week about Metro Bank, and I was saying to you on the last podcast, yes, Pete, I spent well spent wasted 120 hours plus looking at Metro, and I just couldn't see the reasons to buy it. I got lambasted on Twitter for mentioning Metro and saying I didn't see the value. I got DMs, I got people on things on Twitter blocking me for mentioning the fact that I didn't see the value.
How dare you?
And Wednesday, all there was a late announcement. It was going to go to the moon. Here is the result. We're going to see £3.50 or £4 tomorrow. Blah 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 blah. And I was offline. Sorry, private DMs with a few people saying, "Oh, what do you think? I remember you mentioning that you looked at Metro. What do you think?" And I told them, and I read out what would happen. Pete, the second phase of it hasn't quite happened yet. I said, "Look, if you're lucky and you're already holding the stock, this is what's going to happen with all the people that are ramping the stock, right? You're in the unfortunate position that Metro is not an investing stock at the moment. It is a trader stock,
Totally a trader stock,
and
yeah.
by that, what I mean is those people that have been ramping that stock." And are invested in that and are chasing that stock are looking for between 5 and 15%, right? So tomorrow,
Yeah,
Thursday
in a
morning, that share
quick amount
price
of time, yeah.
will pop above £2. If you're very lucky, it will hit about £2.30. Okay? But however, throughout that day, it will drift and it will drift and it will drift. And if you're lucky, by Friday at close of play, yeah, it will be back to £2. And then it'll be then waiting for the next piece of news, and there'll be talk about takeovers and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah.
No
But
jumping it, yeah.
you will not see your £4 per share until there's a major catalyst, which will probably be a takeover, if that ever happens. But I
Yeah.
went back and I said to him, "Look, listen to the podcast, right? Because the reasons why that share price isn't happening, because anyone that's investing in banks is looking for online, digital, low
Yeah.
cost platforms, not somebody that's going to go out and invest and pay for a branch."
Yeah, exactly. It's such a daft stock, it really is. Hey, so you mentioned just now about AstraZeneca and the clinical trials and stuff. I know that there's a stock that you're in, isn't there? IXICO, IXI, and that's very much to do with artificial intelligence kind of data analysis and stuff, isn't it, for clinical trials?
Yeah, they utilize AI for neuroscience research essentially. And I've been involved in that stock for a little while. It's one, as you know, I tend to keep my my stocks quiet because I prefer them to be followed by investors rather than traders.
The rampers, yeah.
So what I was going to mention regard, and that was the stock I was going to mention, Pete, is that
Oh, I did wonder if it was, yeah,
yeah.
because
So.
it's an interesting stock. I had a really good look at it myself, and I got very close to buying it. For me personally, it's a little bit too speculative at the moment, and I've got other things that I'd rather buy, but
Yeah.
I'm still interested in it, and I'm going to be watching it and seeing how things progress, because I still think there's probably plenty of opportunities to get in if it's going to do more,
Yeah, it's interesting because they are working with all, or I shouldn't say all, the vast majority of the top pharmaceutical biotech companies that are out there, Pete. They are working with them using AI, yeah, regarding any drugs that are out there working on the neuroscience, neurotech sort of sphere. They're one of the go-to sort of companies that they are speeding up the data, looking at the data and using all kinds of tech to enhance the results and get the results quicker to these larger behemoth companies. And I posed a question today, actually, Pete, because Biogen have recirculated their drug and are going to push this drug back out again that they dismissed a while back. And I thought I'd just put it out there to question whether or not Ixico were involved in it, because this if their share price moved 43% this week, Biogen, because of this one drug, right?
That's a big move for a large company, isn't
Yeah,
it?
this is a behemoth sort of US
Massive biotech, yeah.
massive biotech company, and I'm thinking, do they know? And the share price was moving today in this morning on no news again, and I'm thinking, well, what's happening there? Because I haven't seen any news regarding Ixico, but Biogen are huge, and it's one of those sort of stocks that I'm always keeping an eye on because I know they've worked with them on other drugs in the past. So Ixico for me bought for less than 26.5 pence, and that was what was it? I think it was probably around May time of this year. And let me just get the dates right. So 25th of April, I purchased that, Pete, and
Yeah, because it's quite a recent sort of well, I was going to say IPO, but it wasn't really an IPO, was it? It grew out of a different business, didn't it?
yeah, Ply up. I can never even say the
Phyta
name.
Farms, was it
Yeah,
Phyta
that's
Farm
it.
or
Yeah,
something?
yeah. So it grew out of that, and the CEO has really transformed the company, and yeah. So today they've popped again. Another 7%, and at 69.5 pence today.
Lovely.
So it's on the verge of once we get to, let me have a look at this now. At 78 pence, it would have trebled for me. So if that does that before the end of the
Oh,
year,
that's
I'll be very,
beautiful.
very
Well done.
ha happy with that. But it's actually quite a small company. The market cap at the moment is only 30 million quid.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was around 30, 40 million. Yeah,
Yeah, so
that's.
it's still got a long way to grow,
Yeah, I mean, and
but
the growth rate of the revenue in that's really impressive.
yeah,
I mean, like I said, there's a lot to like on it. Like I say, it's just for me personally, it's just a little bit speculative. Mate, another one that I actually hold, that is related to clinical trials, and that is Clin, CLIN, Clinigen, which I've mentioned on a podcast before. I'm sure I'm just going to throw in that it's got three divisions, and one of its divisions is supplying drugs and things that are used in clinical trials. So just so, yeah, it's just anyway. But that's one that's been dropping back recently. But it's one I'd like to buy more of. So I'm quite happy to see it keep dropping. And at some point, I'll probably be nibbling a few more.
What do you think's behind the drop?
I just think it's the usual flipping malaise, mate. It's like the market's that kind of mood, isn't it? Where, so many. I mean, there's a lot of stocks out there look flipping cheap, not cheap, but they look good value,
Yeah, yeah.
I think with just the whole general malaise that is around, I just think it's interesting because last week or 2 weeks, you remember when it was all going towards Boris's deal,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had that pop, didn't
in
we?
Brexit land? And the pound started to rise again, and it's And the pound had started to rise for some period before that deal happened. It had started to, to level out and then start turning up. And the whole sort of feel of the market changed, where you found that smaller companies, FTSE 250 and smaller, started to perk up again, and the FTSE 100 started to sort of calm down, and it wasn't so excitable because obviously the pound was rising. And that sort of seemed to be happening. And then this week, we seem to have gone back to that sort of malaise that we had before.
Yeah, that's true. Like you said, there's lots of stocks out there that are looking relatively good prices. And I think, for those that like to do their research and have a look and purchase some stocks ahead of the curve and ahead of the crowd, there's plenty of opportunities out there. You do not need to be chasing the stocks that are hitting 52-week highs or multi-year highs, or the ones that are being ramped by various people. There's lots of quality out there, and I've been getting a lot of cash into my portfolio of late, and what I've been trying to do is to offset the cash sitting there doing nothing, because as we know, that's how most of the platforms make their money when we're leaving cash on the side there. Is I've been trying to invest that back into income dividend plays. So that's what I've been doing. But yeah, the quality's out there, and I've not really looked at Clinigen before, but I'll definitely have a look at those over the next couple of weeks to see exactly what's going on. What's
Yeah, I think
what sort of PE is that on, Pete?
it was
And does it get
quite
a
high.
yield?
It was quite high, but it's been dropping back. So I think it's probably around a forward PE of 16 or something.
Okay.
I think it's got a little bit of yield, like,
Little bit of
one
yield.
and a half or something, nothing much.
Okay. I like to have at least 3%, mate, if I can, whilst I'm waiting.
Yeah, the good thing with Clinton is it's sort of good old fashioned, sort of boring thing, really. It's because it. I got hold of it because it used it. They took over Quantum Pharma QP, and I held QP, so that's how I got it. So they've got three divisions. One of their divisions is the one I talked about, the sort of clinical testing stuff that they supply clinical testing stuff. One of the divisions is Quantum Pharma, which was quite an unusual business in itself because it specialized in unlicensed medicines. So they're like special one-off medicines that are sort of made up in a pharmacy and then given to the customers. It's quite an unusual thing. So I quite like that. And then they've got another division that is very like Alliance Pharma, APH. And what they do is they buy sort of old drugs and old health things, like even things like, say, lip salve or something. I know that Alliance Pharma got lip salve. They buy these things that big companies like Glaxo and AstraZeneca can't be bothered with anymore because it's, they're not bothered with something that makes 250 million a year. It's just a waste of time for them. So they flog it off to the likes of Alliance Pharma and to this division that's in Clinigen. So Clinigen's quite an interesting little mix of three different sort of healthcare businesses. So yeah, I quite like it.
Yes, I like the sound of that. I'm definitely gonna look into that some more.
And
I think what's been happening to me though of late, Pete, and it goes back to my preferences for tech. You know what I mean? The Ixico, the reason why I got into that was looking at imaging companies, and data analytics, and that's essentially what they're doing all the time. So they're working with the global biopharmaceutical industry to interpret data from brain scans and digital biosensors and so on and so forth.
And that's
And
such a hot sector,
it's
isn't it? And
such a hot
it's
sector, Pete.
absolutely,
Because everyone's chasing, they want to find the cure for Parkinson's, they want to find the cure for Alzheimer's, they want to find the cure for dementia-related aging processes. So anyone that gets that first, golden bullet sort of pill are going to be off to the races. You're going to have a game-changing sort of drug on your hand, and so everyone's in that sort of space to get that. So there's a battle going on for that, and they're one of probably in the top 10 companies that are working with all these companies to enable that to happen. So that's what attracted me to that company. And going on to what you were saying about how do we find some of the companies that we find, how do we find these gems? Sometimes it's not by design. It's just the fact you're in a related sort of field, and all of a sudden some part of that research
You trip
just
over it,
you
don't
trip
you?
over it, and you think, cry, because up until probably February. I didn't know. I'd lost track of Plytha Farm, right? I'd lost track of what happened to it, and the name had been changed to Ixico. I'd forgotten. I didn't know who they were, Pete, essentially. And then
So
once that sort of
you saw it in the RNS feed or something. Well, what's this?
I just saw this an imaging data, saw something else going on, started reading about it, and then their name came through a filter I was looking at, and then I started reading it and reading it and reading it. I was thinking, eh? How comes I've never heard about this company before? And then I was like, aha, that's who they used to be formerly, and that's why I did know about them. And yeah, went through about, went through a real big transition. But the CEO that's there now is, and the team that's involved with the company now have really moved it on. So they're profitable, Pete. A tiny little company that's profitable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rare luxury, isn't it?
It's a rare luxury. And so I'm looking at them really kicking on. I think you mentioned CAGR of 32%, growing at an average of 32% over the past 3 years. That's some going.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic.
So I'm hoping they can continue that, and I'm looking for the day when they actually make an announcement, whether it's a year from now or so, or 2 years, when this little tiny company is able to say, "Oh, and by the way, we've done so well, we're going to pay ourselves a dividend." If that happens, they're in a whole different space then of
Yeah,
people
that's right.
investing
I
in
mean,
them.
I'd imagine that it's a little way off the
Oh, it's
dividend
a
at
little
the
way off,
moment.
yeah.
Yeah, but once they do that maiden dividend, that tends to be such a good sign, and it's a good sign of it's a sign of intent and the fact that they're actually sort of respecting shareholders, really, which is, mate, I'm aware that we've been talking for about half an hour on this. Now, just let you know, the other thing I was just going to throw in quickly was Tristel, TST, because we sort of seem to be on healthcare at the moment. Tristel, TSTL, had a really strong day today. We're recording this on Friday, what is it, 25th of October.
25th, yeah.
It jumped something like 6% or something, and it's really near its all-time high. Now, I mean, who knows if it's going to break out or not. It may well pull back next week or whatever it's going to do. But if it breaks out of that all-time high at 325, that tends to be a sign that it's going to push on again higher. I hold TSTL and I've had it for ages and been really happy with it. So, and that's obviously one, they do disinfectant and sterilization stuff using chlorine dioxide. And they're the only people who sort of use that technology, and they use it for like cleaning catheter tubes and things like that. And they're pushing to get US FDA approval for their what they call wipes, and a thing called Duofoam, I think, which is like a sort of cleaning product based on this chlorine dioxide. So that one, if it pops out, that's going to be a nice one. So yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Pete. It always amazes me this, because I'm just clicking through now and having a quick look at it. It had its full year, was it full year returns, full year final,
Results.
sorry,
Yeah,
on the
not very long
16th.
ago.
On the 16th. So that's like a week or so ago, and then it's continued to pop, and then pops on into the close of the weekend. So turnover up 18%, overseas sales up 26%. Pre-tax profit up 19%. Pre-tax margins 21%. Adjusted earnings 20. Mate, those are some really, really strong numbers there. And it's
Yeah, I
got
mean, I think
cash.
it's the same old story where, you need to be careful with the accounting because there's all sorts of nasties going on with so many of these companies. But yeah, bottom line is they seem to be pushing forward. They seem to have a fairly unique offering. And
Yeah.
obviously, if this US thing, happens, then that's going to really make them. Well, I mean, it's been a great stock anyway for me, but it'll really make them if they get the US thing as well.
So how have they done year to date then? How have they performed?
I don't think they've done a lot this year. I think they've been in that sort of like sideways
Sort of
movement
range.
really for the last few months or so. But that's quite normal, isn't it? You often find with these really good stocks, they go up, they jump up, then they sort of go into sideways ranges, and that can, it can be a long time. That can be like a year or something, But then they pop higher again, and it's, we see that so often with good companies. I mean, if you remember with Entertainment One, ETO. With that one, I had something like 2 years of it just doing nothing, which was just frustrating as hell, just watching it go sideways for 2 years. But I thought, this is still a really good play and I want to be in it. And the thing is, you know, it's like the value was obvious, but sometimes you've just got to be really patient and let that value come. And then, you know, lo and behold, it gets a bid. So I'm really pleased that I hung on.
You were absolutely spot on with that, you know, and I'd like to think I'm a very, very patient guy alongside you as well, but even I lost patience with that, Pete.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult to be patient, you
And
know.
when they kept going out, oh, our library's worth this, our library's worth that, I was like, well, come on then, let's make sure we get some value out of that library. So I just lost patience with it, and obviously I reinvested the money elsewhere and did okay on it, but yeah, I could have had that return regarding the takeover. You know, I could have had my 40th takeover, but you know, I'm still waiting for that one now. But yeah, you did brilliantly on that, and kudos to you because you know you and it went lower, it went really high, then really low, and then pop. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's just that classic thing. Mate, do you want to knock it on the head as a part one there?
Yeah, we'll knock it on the head there for part one, folks. So we're going to take a little pause, and then continue with this into part two. So we'll catch up with you, ladies and gentlemen, very, very shortly.
Speak to you in a bit. Cheers.
See you in a bit. Bye for now, Pete.
Bye.